Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And before we get into it, I got to say thank you and for welcoming us to the new member of the Know Your Risk family, Arizona's news station, KTAR. This is the first week we're broadcasting down there. Pumped to be a part of it. It's been a market we've looked at for a while. And some opportunities came our way, and we've capitalized on it. So excited to start this new chapter and invite our friends from Phoenix now to join us on this risk management journey we're on. And just to give a little primer for the people in Phoenix, you can follow me on Twitter at KYR Radio. I'm the owner and CEO of, or chief investment officer, actually, of Bulwark Capital Management. You can find stuff on all over the internet, interviews that I've done with, Fox and different, news stations and things like that. There's plenty of stuff out there. I'm not going to bore you with it, but we are a wealth management firm based out of Seattle, Washington. We're actually opening offices in Phoenix here in the first quarter of next year. So that works perfectly with us starting the show down here. And it's a show that we started 5 years ago on local radio up here in Seattle about our process, about our vision, about our risk management process, which is, and I'm not going to bore everybody. We're going to get to the market update because people in Portland and Seattle and they've been listening to this for a long time. But I think it's more important than ever that clients understand and have a risk management strategy in their portfolio. The modern portfolio, if you don't know, is completely broken, right? The bond side of your portfolio does not hedge out your equity risk. Last March, bonds were down somewhere between 15 to 22%, stocks were down 36. Everybody's told you, right? Bonds go up, stocks go down. Hasn't happened for 13 years. And now you're sitting on a bond portfolio that's paying you, 2% net of fees? Inflation's running at 5.5%. You're literally paying somebody to lose 5% of your money a year, or 4% after fees. It's insane, guys. The other thing is that when you look at debt levels in the economy, right? You look at debt levels on the S&P 500, you look at valuations. Now, I think there's a lot of reasons why valuations are high, and I'm not a Chicken Little telling the sky's going to fall. I don't think there's an impending crash that's going to ruin everybody. What I do think, though, is that we are exiting a period of time, really for the last 40 years, going back to the 80s when inflation quit being a problem started being tamed by Paul Volcker, who was the head of the Fed. We all know what happened. He jacked up interest rates, went after inflation. Greenspan took over the Fed in the late 80s. And we really haven't dealt with inflation since then. And I think globalism and the rise of technology has a lot to do with that. But globalism's taken a big step backwards after COVID, right? People are reappropriating their manufacturing facilities, especially for things like pharmaceuticals and PPP or PPE. So remember the reason those goods were sent, the reason that manufacturing was sent to China in the first place is because it was cheaper, right? So you undo that, it's inflationary. And I am telling you right now, if you're with me and you believe that the tide has turned, that inflation is now the primary threat and it has to be something, first of all, I agree with you. Second of all, I don't think we're talking about Weimar Republic. I don't think you're going to need to, and we've talked a lot about this, and guys, we've got 5 years worth of podcasts. So again, for the Phoenix market, you can go back and listen to our podcast. You can just Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast and hear a lot of the interviews we've done with big-time money managers, big players in the financial industry. We've had some incredible guests on. But if you think that this traditional stock bond portfolio is going to get you done, guys, it's not. And we're not forecasting impending doom. What we think is that the setup right now is pretty reminiscent of 1968. And those of you that lived through the 80s remember, 16% mortgages, right? You remember when the 30-year treasury was paying 13.5%. Right. Then you look at the inflationary problems, whether it's debt to GDP, deficit levels, debt levels on companies. the problems and the issues. Now, the demographic picture is a little bit different because one of the big drivers of inflation that I don't think gets enough credit is the demographic switch situation, right? In the late 60s, early 70s, who was coming of age? It was the baby boomers. So consumption was going up. Well, there's a rhyme with that today. It's the millennials. It's actually a bigger generation than the baby boomers. But I think the story we're going to be looking at here on the inflationary side is the unprecedented monetary policy, right? We all know, right? How do we deal with COVID? Let's print a stack of $6.5 trillion and just fill in the hole. We're going to pay people more money to sit at home than work. Everything that was deflationary prior, go look at the last time Social Security went up by 5.9% a year. And the crazy thing is, here's the problem. Here's the pernicious cycle of inflation, guys. The way that politicians deal with it, the way that central banks have managed the economy, literally going back for the last 15 years, they can't do it that way anymore. Right? You got supply chain crunches. What do you think happens when you, and I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. They're obligated to do it by the rules of Social Security. But what happens when you increase Social Security payments by 5.9%? Demand goes up. Prices go higher. Right? So every problem that we've dealt with in the last 13 years, 15 years, right? Central banks are a hammer and everything in the world is a nail. See a problem, print money. All of a sudden, guys, that doesn't work when inflation's the threat. That elixir, right? That antibiotic that they used to you know, fend off infection and keep the patient. Now, right, the medicine becomes the poison. And like I said, guys, I'm not worried about a Weimar Republic style deal. Don't let people scare you about that. And I'll tell you why. And again, all of our listeners here in Seattle and Portland know this, but the people that are telling you that, the people that are telling you you're going to need a wheelbarrow to go buy a bread, I don't think they're lying to you. I don't think they're being disingenuous. They don't understand. They don't understand the monetary system. Okay, the U.S. dollar is the reserve currency of the world. If you want to conduct trade across international lines for virtually almost any good or commodity, those trades have to be settled in U.S. dollars. So unlike any other currency out there in the world, we have a permanent bid under the U.S. dollar. Now, could hyperinflation become an issue? I saw Jack Dorsey put out hyperinflation's coming. You're going to hear a lot of that, guys. Inflation is certainly coming. And we've turned that corner, in my opinion. But hyperinflation? Not as long as the dollar is a world reserve currency. When the dollar is replaced as a world reserve currency, then you could see it. The thing that people forget about currencies, you guys, is that they're measured against each other. So if the other governments out there are doing more insane stuff than we do, you're not going to see the dollar go down. People go, no, you don't understand. You don't know your history. Yes, I do. And I believe that at some point, hyperinflation, I mean, look, every fiat currency in history has gone the same way. And you can trace this clear back to Chinese dynasties. One of the biggest reasons you saw turnovers in Chinese dynasties, ironically, was inflation. This is not a new problem, right? And I'm not minimizing it. What I'm telling you is the setup of the system matters. And here's a perfect example. Before the financial crisis, and guys, and just hear me out. If you want to turn it off because it's young guy doesn't know what's happening, it's inflation's going to eat him alive. Like I said, inflation's coming, but just hear me out. Okay, the DXY, the dollar index, which is the dollar measured against a bunch of other currencies, mostly the euro, but other currencies as well. It's not a perfect index, but it's kind of the go-to look at the dollar. The dollar index was high 70s or so right before the financial crisis, 78, something like that, 2007. And I think debt to GDP at that point was 63%, right? So the debts that the U.S. had was like 63% of the economy. And I think GDP back then in 2007 was around $15 trillion, if I'm not mistaken. You know, so you had debts of, you know, $8.5 trillion. Okay. Today, you got 150% debt to GDP, right? $30 trillion in debt is baked into the cake and climbing rapidly. Look at the new budget that they're proposing, right? Over that same period of time where we've massively leveraged the Fed's balance sheet, the Federal Reserve Bank's balance sheet in 2007 was $880 billion. Today, it's $7 trillion. That's money they've just printed out of thin air and bought up assets. And At the same time, the dollar index today is at 93.94. Right, so what is that, a 25% rally in the dollar index when our debt to GDP went from 63% to 150? That's not supposed to happen, right? Well, the people that are telling you that hyperinflation is on the way, they don't understand that. They don't understand why that played out that way. The dollar really, in the world currency system that it's in right now, the dollar really isn't almost a currency. It's kind of, like I've stated before, it's kind of the volatility index of currencies. So the dollar goes up, not because our balance sheet's better, we're doing more smart and sane things on the fiscal and monetary side here in the United States. The dollar goes up in value due to financial stress, right? When things start looking bad out there in the economy, what do other economies do? They go out there and they grab dollars, right? They got to have dollars to transact over international lines. If they don't have dollars, they got no purchasing power. They can't buy the things they need. You know, right now, look at energy. Everybody needs energy. What do they also need? Dollars to buy it. So at this point, while the dollar is still the world reserve currency, we don't have to worry about hyperinflation. But we do need to worry about inflation because it's coming. And I think that all these people talking about the current energy crisis and saying, have we seen the top? I think they're out of their minds. And the interview we did today with Tracy Shuchard, who's very well known on Twitter, and she's been in the energy trading game for a long time, very bright. Following her research has made me money managing people's portfolios. Again, we manage about just shy of $400 million now. And I think she's one of the, she's got all the chops, all the experience, you know, trading in the pit at CBOT, the Chicago Board Options. What is that? I'm forgetting what the T is. Anyway, but been in the game for a long time. And I don't think you're going to want to miss this interview. And for those of you, again, down in Phoenix, if you want to listen to the interview, we're gonna air about 10 minutes of the interview on the hour show today. And whenever you hear these interviews, this is one of our deep dive interviews. Whenever you hear one, you can always hear the entire interview on our podcast. And you can just Google Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. And, you know, I'm biased. It's my show. I'm just telling you guys, there's a wealth of information that you're not going to hear on CNBC. Right, you're not. People that have listened to the radio show for a long time know that we're looking at different things, right? We're looking further out ahead on the curve. And, you know, I think that's going to be the key to dealing with inflation. That's going to be the key. So anyway, I went a little bit over in that next segment. We're going to get into the hardcore market update, but I just wanted to give our Phoenix audience down there at KTAR a little primer and an introduction into the show. And so the way we address this, guys, is our retirement planning strategy is all built around risk management. How do we get rid of the bonds and still have a safe part of the client portfolio to make sure no matter what happens, they're okay? But get that safe part actually making 5 to 6% a year, right? How do we squeeze as much juice out of the stock market while protecting against a catastrophic drop? And again, we're not forecasting a catastrophic drop, but we're cognizant of the fact that this is the longest bull market in U.S. history with some of the richest valuations we've ever seen. Okay, when you look at valuations and you go back and look through history, history would tell us that over the next 10 years, the stock market should average negative 3 to 0%. Now, having said that, I don't think anybody was predicting last March that the stock market was going to double in the next 18 months coming off the bottom. Okay, so nobody knows for sure. What it does mean to me, though, is that we need to be careful, right? If history is telling us that anytime we've been in this neighborhood, we've gotten crushed before, I just think we should pay attention to that. We have to have a defensive strategy. And the way that played out for our clients last March, when the market dropped 36%, our average client was down 5.5% in their total portfolio. Our stock portfolios were down 11%. Stock portfolios finished last year with better than a 20% gain. This year, our stock portfolios are up just shy of 28. And the reason we've outperformed to the upside is because we didn't lose as much to the downside. It's risk management. The less we lose, the better our returns are in the future. And we are active managers. Have to be, right? If you're just riding the index, I'd have been down 36 like everybody else. Anyway, that's an introduction to who we are. Guys, we're excited to be down there. Thank you for welcoming us. We're going to have some live events down there, too, in the next quarter, so hopefully I'll get to meet some of the folks down there in Phoenix. But thanks for taking this journey on us, and I hope you guys like the show. And let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back and get right into our market update, which is usually how we start things, do a summation of what's happening this week in the markets and where it looks like things are heading. So stick with us through the break. Again, welcome the new folks from Arizona's news station, KTAR, joining us. With our folks in Portland, the folks up here in Seattle, and the tent is expanding. Anyway, stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. Thank you guys for sticking with us. So let's get into the regular rhythm of the show here. Start with the market update. You guys know what we've been watching now. It's been about 6 months. and let's see where we're at. And again, for an update, what we're talking about here with our new friends in Phoenix. One of the things that we've been paying attention a lot to was the inflationary impetus that I was talking about in the first segment, and the way that we believe that that's going to turn this market on its ear. And in a lot of ways, it has. Right, the Nasdaq is, you know, the home of tech and growth. It is the worst performing index out of all four of the major indexes: the Russell 2000, the Dow, the S&P. This year, it's been a long time since that's been the case. And what's happened, because this tech growth trend has gone on so long now, with so much enthusiasm, and has created such ridiculous overvaluations across the whole thing. And I know that's going to upset some of you, but look, if you've made a bunch of money on this stuff, awesome, okay? Reallocate your portfolio. This is insane. And we'll get into some of the insanity. But one of the things we've looked at is as insane as the upside performance. I mean, so many of these tech and growth names completely detached from any sense of fundamentals. I'll give you a perfect example. We actually made some money on this one as a trade, but Lucid, new, have a really nice car out, right? They're delivering their first cars this week. And they're already sitting at a $58 billion market cap. Ford is at 63. So this company has yet to deliver a car. Not a single one. And they're already trading at the same valuation as Ford. $60 billion. They've never delivered a single car. And don't even get me started on Tesla. But anyway, what you're seeing here is that because of this record underperformance of commodities and value and all this other kind of stuff, this stuff got way too cheap. Way too cheap. Makes no sense on a cash flow basis. Give you an example. U.S. Steel came out today and announced their quarter. U.S. Steel had net income of $1.5 billion. Their market cap is $7 billion. One quarter's profitability equals almost 25% of their market cap. And I don't think the price of steel is going to weaken anytime soon. Not when you look at what's going on with coal. Now, right, all the things to generate steel are going up in price. That's going to get passed on. And so what we've said is that there's this epic struggle because everybody just, right, buy the dip, man. Buy the dip, tech. And they're not looking at what's staring them right in the face. You're seeing record inflation prints, the highest inflation we've seen in 30 years. The inflationary things, tech just keeps going up. And I know a lot of you out there have thrown in the towel. I'm just telling you, I don't think you should. I think tech's going to get destroyed. Not the big guys, right? I mean, Amazon's not going down 80% or anything like that. I mean, anything's possible. But I'm just talking a lot of these just crazy high flyers. And I think the NASDAQ's going to be under pressure a lot. And the problem is everybody's portfolio is positioned the exact opposite way. Right? Whether you know it or not, your portfolio will only work when deflation is the threat. It doesn't work when inflation's the threat. The other side of it is because of indexing and because of mutual funds tracking the index and all this kind of stuff, you're out there, you're not loaded. You don't have barely any exposure to inflationary assets. S&P 500, we've said this on the show a million times. The energy weight right now of the S&P 500, you add up all the energy stocks in the S&P 500, it equals a weighting of about 2.5, just shy of 3%. The traditional average is 11. People are like, we don't need petroleum anymore. We don't need fossil based. Well, if you want to turn your lights on and heat your house, you do. It's just a simple fact. And everybody is so wrong positioned. You're all loaded up in tech because it's been the hottest running sector. And speaking of the craziness, market update, getting into, so for the people that have been listening to the show, guys, we're just, NASDAQ made a new all-time high yesterday, which it's something we've got to watch. There's not a lot of follow through today. We're sitting here at 12:15. NASDAQ is basically flat on the day, but it's still only about a half a percent above that previous closing high. I just, it's got to prove it to me. I think, you know, of course this thing is stretching it out to its absolute furthest point. But anyway, our thesis is that for these inflationary assets and the value stuff and stuff with actual value come back, you got to see tech get hit. Because right now, everybody's pouring money into tech because it's going up. No one's paying attention to the fundamentals. Yeah, I mean, they'll tell you they are, but they're just full of it. I mean, you're looking at a car maker in Tesla. They're not a car maker, they're a tech company. Well, tell that to their balance sheet because, 99.8% of their revenue comes from cars. So, call me a skeptic. If 99.8% of your revenue comes from selling cars, you're not a popcorn company, right? You're not a beverage distributor, you're a car sale, right? What is Tesla trading at? 40 times revenue and they don't generate any profit? People are like, they're profitable. You guys, back out the profits they made from Bitcoin and tax redemptions, right? The tax rebates. They don't make profit. They're the only $1 trillion company to have a junk debt rating. Junk debt rating, $1 trillion market cap. Looking at what? $35, $40 billion in revenue this year. Most of it virtually profitless. You got a $1.1 trillion market cap. It's insane. And it could keep rolling. I'm just saying, I'm not saying those things have to crash and they got to come down. They don't. I just look out at energy right now. I look at everything inflationary, copper, all this kind of stuff that we're going to talk about in the interview at the end of the show. You look at the valuations. You look at the short supplies. You look at the serious inventory problems we've got in that stuff. I think it's going to go nuts. And what is the thing that nobody owns right now? You got no energy. You got to divest. They're evil. It's mind-numbing to listen to people provide like a moral thing to something like energy. And we'll get into it. We've got a little time constraint here. I'll finish the story about Tesla this week because I just think it sums up this market perfectly, and it's just hilarious. So anyway, stick with us through the break. We're going to take a quick break right back now. We'll tie up the rest of this market update. And I got to tell you guys about Tesla because it's just – it's just an earmark of this market. It's just fascinating to me. And is it insane? Yes. Is it dangerous and reckless? Yes. Is it going to end in tears like you couldn't believe? But at the same time, it's may you live in interesting times. We certainly do. So anyway, welcoming the folks in Phoenix at Arizona's news station, KTAR. Glad to have you with us. Going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. Thank you guys for sticking with us through the break. So I was describing what happened with Tesla over the last couple of weeks. So this sums up the market perfectly. Okay. Hertz, the rental car company, right? They went bankrupt last year. And they have gotten the meme stock treatment, right? All of you guys have heard of Bed Bath & Beyond, or no, GameStop, and you know all these ones. And for those, again, new in Phoenix, we made a pretty nice hit on GameStop last year, but we didn't participate in the madness. We bought it based on the valuation and the potential for a short squeeze in October at 10. And we had done a lot of homework on the company, and we thought it was only worth 18 to 22 bucks. It went to 43. We sold it. Not a bad hit for 2.5 months, right? But then over the next 7 trading days, GameStop went up another 10x. So yeah, we made a good pile on it. Not quite as much as we could have. But again, I don't regret that. But anyway, Hertz is kind of in that same group. Right? So Hertz went bankrupt last year. And of course, it had shorts against it. Most companies that go bankrupt are going to have people shorting the stock. And it's kind of like the AMC now, right? It's taken on a life of its own. The earnings, you know, how bad the business has blown up. Like I said, they're still coming out of bankruptcy. Oh, look at this. So Hertz's market cap, Hertz stock is up almost 12% today. It's up, we were at $16 in September, $20, October 4th. That was right around they made the announcement. Anyway, they came out, this has been this meme stock. 14, I don't know what their market cap was prior to COVID, but now they're sitting at a $15 billion market cap. Let's look at the financials here. $5 million in revenue. That's pretty, 3 times revenue for a car rental company. Good golly. Let's see, where's our debt here? Let me flip over to the balance sheet. Bear with me, guys. Net debt, $5.1 billion in net debt. So the thing is a basket case. It's not worthless, don't get me wrong. But they came out a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and said that they were going to buy 100,000 Teslas. Now, the reason that was really funny to me, was because, in my opinion, the only reason you do that is to get more action on your stock, right? If you're a rental company, you rent cars for a living, it is imperative that those cars spend as much time on the road as possible. And when you're dealing with internal combustion engines, traditional cars, most of these rental companies only keep these cars for, you know, 15, 25,000 miles, something like that. And then they sell them 30,000 miles. How much maintenance is required for a brand new car these days, you know, up until 30,000 miles? Virtually none. And if there is something needed, you can flip it around real quick. Tesla's a completely different animal. Only approved Tesla mechanics can, or, you know, service people can work on it, or it can void parts of the warranty. They're notoriously expensive. I know a guy that had to have his Tesla towed like 350 miles and paid God knows how much just to get a tire replaced, because nobody could work on it. My point is that as far as a business decision goes, it's not good. And it's not because they're bad cars. There's not a big enough charging network built out yet. I mean, it's serviceable, right? But when and if problems happen, those cars are out, and you don't really know how long it's going to take to get them back. The reason they did this, he's not marketing to his business. He's not running his business. He's just trying to juice the stock. So he announces he's going to spend, and in my opinion, misallocate capital to the tune of 100,000 cars. Let's call it $6, $7 billion of revenue. His stock goes up on that announcement. It shoots higher. Because they're spending $6 to $7 billion on cars that aren't going to be as good for their business as the kind of cars that they have now. And again, it's no knock on the car. It's just, it doesn't fit their business model yet. There's not enough places to get it worked on. If they were buying EVs from, you know, if they were buying cars from Porsche and Ford and Volkswagen that were electric vehicles, that makes sense. But why are they buying Tesla? They're just doing it to jack up their stock. So their stock goes through the roof. It's been on a tear. It's up another 11% today because they're spending $6 billion on something that's not going to be as profitable for their business. This is the environment we're in. Do you know what happened to Tesla stock? Now, remember, those cars Tesla sells has virtually no profit. The only way they generate profits in the past has been through Elon Musk trading billions of dollars of Bitcoin or over $1 billion of Bitcoin. That happened 3 quarters. Everybody's, what a quarter. You look at it and go, the profit for Bitcoin is how they hit their earnings. They don't make money selling cars. That's why they have a junk debt rating at a $1 trillion market cap. So off the news that they're going to sell $6 billion of no profit cars, their stock went up the equivalent of $180 billion. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff with Tesla. This takes the cake. Their stock went up more than the off of the news of selling 100,000 cars over such a period of time that generate essentially no profit. Their stock increased by the equivalent of Ford and more than Ford and GM combined. They make billions in profits. So it's not the future. You don't understand the future, man. It's just insanity. And I'll tell you, looking at the chart and everything, I don't see any sign Tesla's going to stop anytime soon. I mean, this feels like it could be an apex of insanity. The other thing, you know, is you look at the other day, yesterday, I don't know what I didn't look at it today. But you want to know what stock's out of control? Yesterday on the CBOE, the Chicago Board Options Exchange, or maybe it was the New York Stock Exchange. Anyway, it's either the New York Stock Exchanges or the CBOE. In a single day of trading, 55% of all options volume was on Tesla. The rest of the market was at 45. I don't think that that's ever happened. Meaning, you know, everybody talks about you got to switch sides of the boat when everybody gets on. Are you kidding me? Right? Everybody is so far on one side of the boat here that the handrail is underwater. This looks like one of those mopeds in Thailand, you know, where they get like 30 people hanging off them. It's like the... What did they call that? What did they call that family? The Flying Melindas? It looks like a trick that they're doing. You know, that's how stacked to one side of the boat. And what's amazing to me is everybody acts like they've never seen these things happen before. They act like this is new. It's different this time. We're not going to lose a lot of money. We're going to know when to get out on time. Sure. Sure. And the crazy thing about it, here's the deal. Like I just said, I don't think that these things are about ready to implode. I think some of them could. Here's the danger. When you look at what's going on in energy markets, they're calling this an energy crisis right now, guys. $82 oil ain't an energy crisis. $6 nat gas ain't an energy crisis. Now, the prices of those are higher in Europe and Asia. This isn't an energy crisis. I think you could be looking at $120, $130, $150 barrel of oil in the next 4 to 5 months. People are like, that's impossible. Guys, you don't understand how poorly the energy policy in this country and around the world has been executed. You don't understand the supply crunch, the amount of inventory the supply that's come offline, right? Oil got killed last year. Tons of companies went bankrupt. All that supply got pulled off. Then the current administration has outlawed. There's been no CapEx. They won't allow new drilling. There's no money being put back into the ground. And I think one of the biggest things, like you said, you got inflation turning the corner, in my opinion. I think it's pretty apparent to anybody that's got a set of eyes and is looking to see, which unfortunately in today's society has become increasingly rare. It's the age of idiocy. You don't have to be right. You don't have to make any sense. There doesn't have to be any logic deployed. Just scream really loud. Say you're victimized somehow. That wins every argument. Right? But you look at this energy, and I think the big crisis is that I just go back to the 1968 when inflation started. Nixon took us off the gold standard. What happened? Right? Stocks had been on this beautiful run with record low interest rates. At that time, it wasn't the NASDAQ. It was the Nifty 50 stocks that for 15 years, everybody said were one decision stocks. Buy them and they'll only go up. Sound familiar? Well, what happened? 1968, because of the Vietnam War and Korean War, debt started piling up. Dollars started to soften. Then we get into 71, dollars under more pressure. Nixon goes off the gold standard. The demographic issue kicked in with baby boomers going, and inflation ripped. All right, baby boomers, demand in the economy was going up. Do you know what the stock market did? It was negative for 15 years. It peaked in 68, and I don't think it broke above that peak in 68 until 82 or 83. Over the same period of time, you had bonds lose anywhere between 50, 60, 70% in some cases. If you're willing to take that ride over the next 10 years, then by all means, man, stay in your traditional portfolio. But guys, just in case you don't know, if you've got somebody that's got a decent portfolio and they were 60% stock bonds in 1968 and they were living on a 4 to 4.5% drawdown of their capital, they were broke by 76. Broke. Money's gone. So I'm not saying that it has to be this big impending crash and another Great Depression. I'm just saying that this market is completely offsides. Nobody's prepared for inflation. Your portfolios, all these people's portfolios, they're loaded up in tech and bonds. They're going to get rocked in an inflationary market. Well, not Tesla. Every input cost Tesla's got. Tesla needs things like copper, and they need it in big numbers. They need petroleum. They use a lot of plastic. They need rare earth materials for their batteries. It's just insane. I don't think I've seen so many people ignoring this train that is coming down the tracks. And I feel more certain today about this energy implosion just because when you start looking at the setup, the world population is growing. Contrary to what you hear on the radio, the consumption and the demand for fossil fuels is still going higher. Don't listen to the Kathy Woods of the world. I don't have no clue what in the world she's talking about. Well, that's what everybody said. Okay. But the beautiful thing about the setup is the opportunity, you guys. Yeah, you get the, if you've been on this tech ride, cash it in, man. Take some profit and you need to get involved on this inflationary play. And here's the catch. Remember when I was saying that traditional portfolio was a death knell from 68 to 82? If you invested in inflationarily sensitive assets, if you invested in energy and precious metals, you didn't do well. You got wealthy. And I know that there are those out of you that are going to believe me. And maybe you're already positioned accordingly. And I know those of you that out there won't. Energy doesn't matter anymore. We don't need it. We're transferring to renewables. This is 2021, man. 1978 and Calden wants their energy policy back, right? Make all the jokes you want. This is a supply and demand issue. Pure and simple. And the issue, because of the reckless and ridiculous manner in which our energy policy has been conducted for, you know, better part of the last 10 years, if not longer than that. And the same for the rest of the world. They're trying to convert to renewables when it is not feasible at all, not even close. Not even close to feasible of being able to power the grid. And then yet they're treating every fossil fuel, nuclear. Right? The byproduct of nuclear is steam. They don't even want to do that. But it kind of reminds me of Jurassic Park. Remember Jurassic Park? One of my favorite parts of that movie is when they're talking about, they find the cracked egg. And remember, the dinosaurs weren't supposed to be able to reproduce, right? They'd been genetically altered so they couldn't reproduce. And then they find an egg. And Goldblum's talking about life always finds a way. And I just think the setup is perfect. You have the masters of the universe, the central bankers, and the politicians. They can fix every problem with printing money. Well, guess what? Now they're up against a problem for the first time in 15 years that printing money exacerbates. You can't print propane. You can't print coal. You can't print oil. You can't print natural gas. You can't print copper. People are like, what does copper have to do with it? Guys, if they want to electrify the world, they're going to need a heck of a lot. And pardon me, they're going to need a hell of a lot more copper. Talking millions of pounds. Everybody's just looking past it, in my opinion. I could be wrong, been wrong before. But I'll continue to say, I think the setup in energy is one of the greatest setups I've seen in my career. And I love the fact that it's a contrarian play. I love the fact that everybody on TV is saying that I'm out of my mind. They were saying the same thing last year. They were saying the same thing when we were telling you that you needed a risk management strategy because COVID could be a much bigger problem than people thought. They were saying the same thing when we said energy was a screaming generational buy last fall and that value was going to be the place to be. Well, here we are, market's up 22% and our value portfolio is up 40%. Not bragging. Just saying, if you're following the crowd and you're listening to them, you're going to hear what worked, not what is going to work. And quite honestly, those guys are just index trackers. They don't have the gravitas to sit there and risk underperforming. I don't have that problem. My job is to manage my clients' money and protect them. If we underperform the index because we're doing that for a few months, I don't care. Because I know the payday will come. More importantly, I got to have my clients exposed to energy because it's the only way to offset the increased in living expenses they're going to deal with. And if you think, if you look at the data, you'll see the problem. We've got an inventory shortfall that is not going to be fixed anytime soon. And that's going to pressure energy prices for at least the next year and a half. At least. The only way to offset that increased expense it's going to make to your personal balance sheet is to have some of those investments. It's the only way. And if you're sitting in the typical mutual fund ETF account, less than 3% of your portfolio is positioned to those assets, if that much. Why? Because they're all going up against the index. They got to have all the tech. They can't have energy in there. It's underperformed too long. This isn't investing, guys. You're chasing performance. And I think you're at a point in time right now where it's going to start to hurt. Look at the market. Have the hottest inflation print today announced in the last 30 years. Oil's up 0.76. Most of the energy stocks are down. You don't need them. The other thing is nobody's looking at the fundamentals. These energy stocks, when you look, and I'm talking about $65 oil, not 82, certainly not above 100. I think Tracy kind of disagreed with this definition, but I still think that what you're effectively looking at is a short on the entire energy industry. And how did we short it? We haven't put in the CapEx. We haven't invested. We've told ourselves the lie that we can convert to renewables, and we can't. Not if you want to power the earth. It's just not possible. Not yet. Now, the silver lining to all this to me is that when we get this energy spike, because I think it's only a matter of time, I'm really hoping that it throws some cold water on all the idiocy you hear out there. I just listened to a tape from Rashida Tlaib going after the Exxon CEO. And I'm sitting there going, you are criminalizing this man. Do you understand that having oil here in domestic capacity is a national security issue? You're criminalizing this guy because the other thing that's so ironic about this is that almost no companies out there are investing more in green energy than the energy companies are. Right? Green energy, renewables, it's an existential threat to their business. They can't ignore it. But they also have no incentive to build new wells. That's not what shareholders want. So I think this energy pinch could last a lot longer, and it extends to grains, it extends to fertilizer, it extends to corn and wheat, it extends to copper, it extends to palladium. I mean, you name it. That little knocking you hear on the door is the tide is shifting underneath your feet, and the modern portfolio could not be more ill-positioned for what we believe is taking place right now. And all too many of you, unfortunately, because it's the way we work as people, we make changes at the realization of pain, not the anticipation of pain. You're going to call guys like us. We're going to call other firms after you've already taken the hit. Or, you know, inflation is ripping at 10 or 13%. Your portfolio is down 25. Had you invested in a portfolio that protected you from inflation, maybe you're up 50, 60, 70. Again, don't take my word for it. Just go back and look at the 70s. Go look for yourself. Anyway, I've gone on too long. I meant to air 10 minutes of this interview I've got coming up with Tracy Shuchart. It's really important. Go to the podcast. Listen to what she says. She's one of the best and brightest minds in energy. She's got her finger on the pulse. She knows it backwards and forwards. She's forgotten more about oil and energy and fossil fuels than anybody listening to this show that knows, including me. But hear what she has to say. Because this is the freight train coming down the road that everybody's dancing, pretending like isn't there. And it's kind of like gravity. Right? You don't have to believe in gravity, but gravity believes in you. Inflation's coming, guys. You got to get rid of your bonds. You got to get some exposure to some inflationary sensitive assets. Anyway, you got to also listen to this interview. I'm cutting into the time. Listen to the interview. Catch the rest of the interview at Know Your Risk Radio podcast or knowyourriskradio.com. Listen to the Know Your Risk podcast. You can even just Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, you name it, we're out there. Anyway, thank you guys so much for welcoming us to Phoenix. For those of you in Portland and Seattle, thanks for always listening. We also have clients now in 30 states on the podcast. Thank you, you guys, for listening as well. And guys, keep an eye on energy. If you haven't called, call us. You need a risk management strategy. You need a portfolio that's going to stand up and benefit from what's coming at us. You hear it coming down the train. Take 3 minutes for the rest of your financial future. Anyway, and also, if you want to hear how we do things, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can talk to me or one of our other advisors. We can show you our performance, how we've solidly outbeaten the market over the last 2 years. And prior to that, you can see why our clients were only down 5% last March when the market was down 36. There's a better way to do it, guys. We can increase your upside, drastically lower your risk, and reduce your fees. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Anyway, I got to go. Enjoy the interview with Tracy Shuchart. We're only going to be able to air 4, 5, 6 minutes of it, but you can catch the rest of it on our podcast. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Welcome back to the show, and thank you guys so much for joining us. And I'm, you guys know this is the segment that I look forward to the most. I like doing all of it, but another episode of our deep dive series. Again, the extraordinarily original title of that series, very creative. I'm sure our guest is impressed by that name. Anyway, we're lucky enough to be joined by somebody I've wanted to have on a long time, and I've followed her work for quite a while, and I've been given credit by clients and listeners for getting into energy last year. Tracy Shuchart, who's with us today, she's one of the reasons why. That was a source of data that I track on Twitter. For that matter, I'd recommend you guys track her too, and I'll repeat this multiple times during the interview, but her handle on Twitter is @shigrl, C-H-I-G-R-L. She started off as a trader at CBOT, has been almost exclusively in the energy and commodities world trading. She now manages an energy and commodities portfolio for a family office, and then works with Tom Thornton, has a subscribing service through Thomas Thornton of Hedge Fund Telemetry. She's all over Twitter. I call her the Queen of Crude. I was corrected, though, Tracy. Apparently that title's already taken. You're also the Queen of Copper, I hear.
I am.
Guilty, right?
Right.
Yeah. So first of all, Tracy, thank you so much for being here. You're somebody I've wanted to have on a while, and it couldn't be better timing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. We've been trying to coordinate this for a couple of weeks, so.
Yeah, yeah. This has got to sort of be, it hasn't been boring in commodity markets for a while, but right. I would imagine this has got to be a very unique setup in energy for you right now, I would think. I don't want to speak for you, but kind of give us a backdrop. I think a lot of people are familiar with the energy crisis narrative.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people are sitting there. I heard an interview the other day where they're like, you know, have we seen the top on prices? If you could, Tracy, from your perspective, somebody that knows this market as good as anybody I've ever heard, what is creating this crisis and this shortfall? And then kind of give us a summation of how acute you think it is, how it stacks up to other periods you've seen in your career.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're seeing this actually across both the materials and the energy sector. So this isn't just unique to the energy world, but really, you know, it started off as, and you know, we haven't seen any capital expenditure in oil really since 2014, right?
Jeez.
Which is incredible. And so, and with all of these pressures from, you know, from the climate groups and everything as to move away from fossil fuels, the problem that we're seeing is the demand isn't going away,
mm-hmm.
right? So we still have the demand, and now we have 7 years of less supply and even going forward. And the thing is that, you know, investors because oil is a dirty word,
right?
Right? So investors, you know, don't want to see these guys, you know, drilling like crazy anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, what they want to see is they want to see dividends. They want to see free cash flow. They want to see stock buybacks and, you know, and no CapEx and paying down debt. Right. And that's how all these companies are trying to entice investors right now. And you see that across the board.
Yeah. Tracy, how much, just to give us an idea and perspective, how much supply was taken offline through last year? And I think I would assume the region that's been hit the worst in terms of a supply reduction would be the United States. Perhaps that's wrong. But kind of give us an idea of what that supply reduction looks like over the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, so at the height, we were at 13.2 million barrels a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bottom dropped out of the market, obviously, in 2020 everywhere. And we're now at about 10.9, 11.1.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a good chunk taken off the market, as well as, you know, you have the rest of the world.
Right.
Doing that. That's just the United States. But we're also seeing, you know, cuts from OPEC. You know, we also, you know, saw big players like Eni and Equinor all, you know, reduce their global production as well. So, you know, this is happening across the world. And really, demand is coming back this year much quicker than we mm-hmm. really anticipated, right? So
yeah.
by next year, we should be at over 100 million barrels per day, which is a little bit over what we were doing in 2019 at the height.
So you're not buying Kathy Wood's energy analysis?
No. she hasn't gotten it right yet, so.
No, yeah. Let her stick to Tesla prognostications, right?
Right.
Okay, so now one of the things I kind of look at this, Tracy, and fill me in if I'm wrong, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. That's the other thing on this show. If I say anything wrong. All right, guys. Unfortunately, due to time constraints, we got to cut the interview off right here. But like I told you during the regular show, you can hear the rest of this interview free of charge on our podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com. You can get us on Stitcher. You can just Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Play it right from your phone. Bluetooth it on your car. It's super easy. And you can get all the interviews we've ever done, including this one with Tracy. I think there's tons of value there. Anyway, you guys can be the ultimate judge. Anyway, have a great weekend, and we will see you next week. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.